You're listening to Side Hustle Pro, the podcast that teaches you to build and grow your side hustle from passion project to profitable business. And I'm your host, Nikayla Matthews Okome. So let's get started. Hey, hey guys, welcome back to the show. Today in the guest chair, we have Crystal Rory, better known as Chris. Crystal is a web designer and brand strategist majorly obsessed with online marketing, launching, and revenue growth. Chris specializes in strategically building 6, 7, and 8-figure businesses alongside each of her clients. As a professional designer for over 10 years, Chris has had the pleasure of creating design strategies for New York Times bestselling authors, Oprah-endorsed thought leaders, top YouTubers, content creators, leading podcasters, and even a Grammy Award-winning artist. Some of her notable clients include Marie Forleo, Francesca Ramsey, Hey Fran Hey, Lovie Ajayi, Chrisette Michelle, Danielle Leslie, and more. Chris has designs featured on BuzzFeed, Essence, and Refinery29, and on television, including VH1, TV1, and the Food Network. On today's episode, she is going to share how and where she side hustled for years before she got started, how she built her own web design and brand strategy business, and what your website needs right now for your business to flourish when you are just starting out. So let's get right into it. Welcome to the guest chair, Crystal.
Thank you, Nikayla. So happy to be here.
As you can tell, I'm very happy to have you here. And we're going to get into a little bit of everything, not only your journey, but also what us entrepreneurs need to know about websites, effective websites. So before we get into anything, though, I'd love for you to tell your story in your own words. Who is Crystal? How did you get to where you are today?
Sure. Okay. Long story, so I'll try to make it short. But my name is Crystal Rory. I'm a web designer and brand strategist. And how did I get to where I am today? So basically, I started really early. When I was 13, so that was like the year 2000.
Yes.
I was basically on my winter break from school in ninth grade. And, you know, I was really into magazines and magazine layouts, and I wanted to learn how those were created. And I'm not sure how I found out about Photoshop exactly, but I did. And I spent on dial-up 3 days downloading Photoshop during my winter break. And then during that time, I would just go to Barnes & Noble and try to learn all I could about Photoshop and how to create those kinds of layouts. And during that time, I realized that there are a lot of young people online who had their own .coms. They had blogs online during that time. And I wanted to have one too. So I ended up creating my own website, my own blog. This is before LiveJournal. I eventually got one of those. But I had my own .com really early. And I just wanted to showcase like my love of art and whatever, you know, teenage drama was going on. I would write about that. And that's how I started creating websites. And later, you know, in high school, like my senior year, I would create a website so that the students could request songs during lunch because they would play music over like, or like speakers over lunch. So you could request a song. And, you know, I just wanted to make different websites to help people. And
yeah.
I didn't know what a graphic designer was. I didn't know what a web designer was. Those terms were not around me at all. I'm not even sure if they were around back then, but I didn't know what that was. So I'm sure they were around, but I mean, like, just like, you know, speaking normally. So I didn't know that that's what I was doing or that's what I wanted to be. And when I got to college, I saw that there were web development classes. So I took one web development class and I loved it. I aced it. And I was like, okay, I could be a web developer. And part of our curriculum was to go to a college counselor and just talk about your goals and all that. So I went and the counselor told me web development wasn't for me. And she didn't
What was her reason?
I don't remember a true reason. I just remember feeling really defeated. You know, you always remember how you felt in the time. You know, I don't remember the exact words, but I just remember feeling really defeated. And I thought, okay, well, maybe it's because, you know, in my web development classes, I was one of two girls out of, you know, 30 people. I was the only person who was really into like style and things like that. So maybe I was like, well, maybe it's because I have better strengths or something like that. Maybe I should go into something more creative, or I didn't know, but I knew that I should probably change my career path just based on what she said. And so I always had a dream of having my own business. And that was because I saw early in my childhood, my mom, she worked at night as a nurse. And so during the day, she was able to be there for my brother and I, and she would walk us to school and walk us back from school and take naps with us. And, you know, just, she was just there during the day. And I was like, that's what I want. But I need to have a job that allows me to work from home in some way. Yes. So I just said, okay, I'll have my own business. Whatever that is, I'll have my own business. So I thought this was sort of like a sign that maybe I should pursue business instead. So I changed my major to business and with a concentration in marketing. And that's what I did going forward. And then I did try to double major in design, but I realized that they didn't have any classes that were about the business of design. And I felt like that was what was the most important thing that I didn't have, since I had already sort of been self-taught as a designer.
Interesting. So you were still trying to incorporate design into your studies.
Yeah, in a way. Yeah. And that was the whole thing. Like every job I would take, I mean, I would take a lot of administrative jobs in college, and every job I would try to just basically change it to a graphic designer job. So if I was, you know, like an administrative assistant, I'm like, you know what? We need flyers. I'm going to design flyers for the day. And I would get a lot of pushback from my employers, but I just saw myself doing that over and over again. It became a pattern for sure.
Now, coming out of college, so you graduate with, so was this a business degree?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And exactly. What was your initial career path?
So initially, like I said, I was doing those administrative type jobs. And during school, another assignment was to interview somebody who had a job that you wanted. And I immediately, you know, I started going through like Craigslist, I think at the time, and I saw what kind of jobs were out there. And I just kept seeing, you know, a creative director type job. I was like, oh, okay, maybe that could be cool. So I asked to interview the creative director at Revolve.com. And Revolve now is this huge, you know, luxury online retailer. And it wasn't that big back then. And now they do collaborations with like Kim Kardashian and Chrissy Teigen and all these great people and a lot of influencers and stuff. But it wasn't anything like that back then. It was just a small fashion company down the street from my parents' house. So I went and I interviewed, I tried to interview the creative director. We had a date set. And when I got there, that person had called out sick. So wow. I ended up interviewing, the founder of Revolve.com. And which is even better. And I was like, okay, cool. You have this great business. You know, I didn't think anything of it, but I was like, okay, I can just ask him questions. And he told me, he's like, I know a little Photoshop. We can talk about it. And I was like, okay, great. So we sat down and we immediately clicked, and I knew that I wanted to work there. I just knew I had to be there. So I was working for my aunt at the time. She had owned her own business, and I was sort of running it while she was trying to juggle her full-time job and that business. So I was running the business while she was able to go to work, and it was really hard for me to tell her I want to go to this other place that, you know, I just felt like I was pulled to be there. So I ended up quitting my aunt's job and going to Revolve.com. And I was hired as a photo editor. And while I was there, I started getting a lot of jobs or like tasks that had to do with designing. So like, hey, you know Photoshop, can you just whip up this homepage graphic, or can you, you know, create this blog post? And I started doing that. And I realized that I was doing the job of a web designer without getting paid for it, without the title. Mm. So I don't know where this came from, but one day I decided, you know what, I'm going to go on salary.com. I'm going to print out what I should be making as a graphic designer. And I'm going to go and have a meeting with the founders of Revolve and tell them I want a graphic designer position. So that's what I did. We had that meeting and they were, you know, pretty blown away by my nerve. I mean, I was 21 years old. Yeah.
That's a good idea, though. I've never thought to just print it out. Like back in the day, just be like, boom.
Yeah. I don't know why I thought about that either. But, it ended up working out. And so, you know, there was a little bit of pushback there. They're like, you know, we usually don't give people 20% raises. And I'd only been there like a couple of months. And but they said, sure, fine. So that's how I became a graphic designer. I didn't get hired as one. I basically pushed myself into that position, and I ended up staying there for 6.5 years.
Wow. I never knew this. Like, this is cool, y'all. I'm like learning. I always see you, and it's, to me, it's like, of course, like everyone knows Chris did it. She's a bomb designer, you know? Now, when you were there, when did you start making websites for other people?
Yeah. So at Revolve, I basically, like I said, I knew really early on, like since I was like 18 or so, that I wanted to have my own business. So I gave myself the goal that I would definitely try to take the leap into having something of my own by the time I turned 26. I don't know where I got this number 26, but I was like, you know what? I'll be 26. I'll be maybe I'll be ready to get married. Maybe I'll be starting my family soon. So I need to have a business that's like running like a well-oiled machine. So at Revolve, that was also the big time where a lot of fashion bloggers were starting to come on the scene.
Yes.
And you got to, you know, show your outfits. You're going to get these free clothes. And I just thought that was a glamorous lifestyle. So I tried my hand at that a little bit. And I created ChrisDidIt.com as a like fashion blog kind of site. And really quickly, I mean, within the first few months, I got a lot of other fashion bloggers asking me to redesign them, their websites, because I had in my little bio that I was a web designer and, you know, my blog posts were very like collagey and graphic heavy. And so people started reaching out to me, and I saw that Afrobella, who was kind of like the queen of like natural hair.
Yes.
You know, she was like one of the first to do it. Yeah. I saw that Afrobella had a post out asking for an intern. And I was like, okay, that'd be cool. You know, I could intern for her. I could make graphics and things like that for her. And then maybe she would shout me out and I'd get more people coming to my blog. So that's what I started doing as well. And it worked. You know, she would shout me out and then people would ask me to design their blogs based on her shout outs as well. So before I knew it, I had a lot of clients who wanted me to help them with their websites. And that's how I started building up that initial clientele that led me to eventually leave my job.
Wow. So how are you juggling this? And I mean, it's been a while now, so you could tell me the truth. Were you working on websites at work?
I wasn't working on websites at work. I was definitely emailing and making proposals and things like at work, but I wasn't making the full on website. My job at Revolve was pretty easy. You know, towards the end, I'd been there 6.5 years. I was a senior designer. It was a lot of, you know, we had to create like our homepage graphics and our graphics for email marketing campaigns. And then we'd switch them out every Tuesday and Thursday. And then we had to upload on Sunday. So on Friday as well. So it was basically the same thing over and over and over again. So I had a lot of free time on my hands. That was also when I discovered 4-hour work week was during the same time. And I was like, oh my gosh, I could make this so much easier. I was all about trying to automate things. So yeah, I was able to sort of work on things at work. But it became too much to handle at one point. So in March of 2012, so that was a month before my 26th birthday. Remember, okay. 26 is my goal.
Getting close to the deadline. Okay.
Yes, exactly. I'm like, oh, this deadline's coming up. I had our annual review meeting with my creative director. And I remember feeling like this is a big meeting. I didn't know if she was going to ask me to become art director or something like that. It definitely seemed like I was going to get a large promotion in some way. And I was like, you know what? This is the time I need to say, no, I want to, if it's possible, I want to work for myself 2 days a week and I want to work at Revolve for 3 days a week. And again, I don't know where this came from. Like, I don't know how I would ever be able to ask an employer. That's such a huge ask.
Yes.
But it felt right. And so during that review, you know, my creative director was like, so Crystal, I want to ask you. And I was like, you know what? Before you go any further, I want to ask you something myself. Can I, you know, work here just 3 days a week and go part-time? And she said, you know what? Yes, as long as you're not trying to leave us. And I was like, I'm not.
Okay.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. So I was like, you know what? No, I just want to try it out for myself. This is my dream. If you can give me this, then I, you know, and I told them I loved it there. I actually really, really love working at Revolve. I was so close to the founders and, you know, my creative director. And I was really a part of creating the company that it is today. I created a lot of like the bigger projects that helped move the marketing forward and worked with a lot of influencers and stuff. So I really felt like I was a part of a larger team and a bigger dream. And I love that. But I knew that it was time to leave. It was just becoming too much to juggle. So she said, yes, as long as you're not trying to fully leave us. And so I said, okay. So I started doing that and I started building up my list of clients. I started saving money on the side. And over a year later, in July 2013, that's when I finally gave my notice because it just didn't make sense for me to go to work anymore. I was
Were you making more?
Exactly. I was making a lot more. I was having $10,000 months, you know, while I was still working part time.
When you were building up your client list, did you have to do any marketing, or because of the strong recommendations that were coming from such big names, was it kind of like word of mouth?
Yeah, it was all word of mouth. Yeah, that's predominantly how my business has grown. So I really haven't had to focus a lot on marketing. The only time that I ever sort of reached out to a client was actually with Chrisette Michelle. She was the one who put out an Instagram post saying who are the best web designers in LA. And I got tagged by a few people and I wrote back to her and told her, you know, just I kind of understood what kind of website she was looking for. And that was the only time that I actually sort of had to kind of pitch myself, but not really. But yeah, everything else was word of mouth.
Yeah. And this is such an interesting thing when your work literally speaks for itself. It's like, I want a website. I can go on any website and say that you've done it and be like, yep, she has it.
Oh, thank you. <laughs> She knows
what she's doing.
Thank you so much.
But were you ever nervous that once you've done a website, like, how do you know that, hey, there's another one coming up? How long of a pipeline did you build out?
You know, well, I'll just say, when I first left my job, it was really difficult because I didn't have the system set up. But I quickly learned how to do that. So now I have sort of a wait list that's always happening that I can reach out to. So it's an email list that I can blast. And so I always sort of are able to book myself out months in advance. But back then, I didn't. So once I left fully in July of 2013, it became really, really difficult. And I had to sort of learn that system. Yeah.
And then in addition to that, like, what other systems did you have to learn? What were those early days like of being an entrepreneur?
Well, I mean, they were rough. I mean,
I'm living them right now. It's like, oh, how do I manage myself?
Yeah, it was hard. I mean, I got so excited just being able to just be on my own. I think that's just something a lot of people run into when they leave their job full time, because it's like, whoa, you know, it's a beautiful day outside. I can actually go out, you know, living in Southern California. It's like, I can go, you know, do my shopping, get my groceries done during the day. And then it's harder to work at night. It's just such a temptation to not work all day. And I fell into that. And then I started getting stuck in sort of like a client panic cycle, meaning that I would get a client and then I'd be like, okay, where's the next one coming from? I wasn't sort of building that out, like I was saying, the systems. And I was starting to work with a lot of clients that, you know, wanted to take advantage of my time. They would ask for, you know, we build a website, maybe that's like three pages, and like, oh, we need two more pages. And I would just do it because I didn't know how to let them know that that was outside of the scope and it's going to cost more money. Just sort of like these really simple things, but it also just kind of takes a lot of guts that I didn't feel like I had at the time. I just wanted to please every client, and that was burning me out a lot. So like I said, I left in July 13 for my full-time job, but I actually learned about Marie Forleo's B School, which is a huge business program, in May of 2012. And that was right after I met my best friend, Danielle Leslie, who a lot of you guys may know. She has the Course from Scratch program. She was the one who introduced me to Marie Forleo.
Okay.
So when I took that program, I learned a lot about, you know, getting clear on my profits and how to make sure that I'm building a system that would work with my business so that I wasn't stuck in that cycle, that I was actually, you know, running like a true business, because that's not something I had never done before.
So you took her program as a student, but then you eventually grew to start working with her for her. How did that come about?
Well, so when I first signed up for B School, again, I was referred to B School by Danielle Leslie. And Danielle Leslie also knew of Marie Forleo's creative director, whose name is Giada Ford. And so Giada was somebody who I met early on, and we really became fast friends as well. And so now she's one of my absolutely closest friends. And her and I have a very similar design style. And she also was somebody who sort of mentored me into looking at the kinds of clients that I truly wanted to take on and getting really intentional about that. And so from her advice, I started getting better clients. And she kind of saw the work that I was doing and how close our aesthetic was, which is also Marie's sort of aesthetic. So she asked me to come on to join their team I think this is in 2015, I want to say.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nice. And you continue to work together.
Yeah. Yeah. We worked together for about 3 years. I built out like the Copy Cure along with her team, and then B School for the past 3 years. And so, yeah. So, but basically we kind of work on projects as they come along. So like right now we're not working together, but you know, definitely probably in a couple of months or so, we'll start working together again. This is just how the nature of the business works.
Yes. I'd like to spend a little bit of time just to touch on how can we make sure we have effective, efficient, and beautiful websites when we're just starting out, like someone like myself, right? Like it's my goal to work with Chris Did It. But right now, like I just, you know, put up my own WordPress site, downloaded a theme and, you know, tried to do my little thing, which a lot of people have to when they're starting out. What are some tips that you can share with us?
Well, you know, when you're first starting out, I think that's totally fine. You know, I think that you should not spend a ton of time or a ton of money on your first website. You know, there's so many resources out there like Squarespace where it's DIY and it's completely effective as long as you have a great theme or a template to start out with. I think that's great. And I say that because, you know, your website is always evolving. You're always going to be, there's always going to be iterations. And your website only works when you truly understand your target customer.
Yes.
And that takes time and experience. Yeah. So I do get a lot of people in my inbox saying, like, I need you to do my website because they see the websites that I create and they see the results that I get for people. But I can't really truly help, you know, that first startup get those results unless they're so clear about their customer. So I typically only work with businesses that have been around for at least 2 to 3 years because they've done the work, they've made the mistakes that are necessary, and now they really understand what they need. And I do that as well because it is an investment. It's an investment in your time, it's an investment in my time, and of course the money. So, you know, I don't want you to put all that into a website that you're not fully clear on. So definitely start out with Squarespace, get the template or on WordPress, and grab a theme. And do that, and then you'll understand more about what you need to put into a website. But the websites that I create, I'll just say, I have a sort of a framework. So I make sure that they are captivating to the visitor because you only have a few seconds before a visitor comes to your site, and then they're out the door if it's not exactly what they need. Yeah, so it's very, very important to captivate them. You need to cultivate trust. So you have to have on your website the results that you get for your customers, you know, what they can expect when they're working with you, how you can help each of your customers. And then you also need to make sure that you're collecting their emails. One thing that I don't see a lot of websites doing is they're not actually building their email marketing. And that's extremely important because a lot of us focus on social media like Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. And we're like, okay, we're going to build these followers. And you keep doing that and you keep putting the money into the ads. But once you put out a post to them saying, hey, I have this thing, come buy it, only a very small percentage actually sees that post.
Right. They're like, scroll. Oh, they're like, heart, didn't read it.
Exactly. Especially if it's like a graphic or something. Yes. Graphic posts always do the worst. Right. Yeah. So, and that's like the thing. You're like, hey, buy my program. And it's a cute little graphic. And they're like, no, let's keep scrolling. Exactly. So email marketing is so important for that reason, because you can actually nurture the relationship that you have with your customer. So it's extremely important to be collecting those emails on your website. And then that leads to actually creating customers. So it's like this four-step process that I look at every time I'm creating a new website. I call it the 4 C's framework. So, you know, that's capturing, cultivating, collecting, and then creating customers in the end. So that's what I do.
Thank you for sharing that. And is there any color theory or anything like that that we should pay attention to as new entrepreneurs? It can be so overwhelming to start thinking, oh, should I use warm colors? Should I use cool colors? What does this color signify?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting, and I didn't really touch on this, but I've never taken a design class. I've never taken a class on color theory. I've never taken a class on Photoshop or anything like that. So I am not one to say, here are the rules and go ahead and follow these rules. I think, and that actually, you know, going into like the rough early days and things like that, that was something that was, I struggled with a lot, not feeling validated as a designer, even though I had worked at Revolve for 6 years and all that. You know, I always felt like I don't have the degree behind things. So it was hard for me to, you know, look at these sort of technical rules that a lot of other designers have. But a lot of you know, folks with authority along the way have told me that that's what makes me different. And because I don't follow those rules, a lot of times I'm able to break them without even knowing it. And so color theory and all that, that's never truly been very important to me. It's really, websites are all about how you make people feel. So, you know, if you have a, what, if you're doing a website, you know, let's say you have like a yoga studio, don't use like Fire Engine Red, because that doesn't feel very yoga-like, right? You know, so I really go into things, you know, more in terms of intuitive feeling and not about following any specific rules or, you know, the technical aspects of design.
Okay, good. I'm glad that you say that, because that is way more helpful than someone telling me some rules about what colors signify to who. I don't
know.
But whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. I tell a lot of people that I help or mentor, I tell them, you know, create just a Pinterest board. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're thinking about your business, start pinning images or colors or, you know, mood boards that are out there. Start pinning those things onto one board and just, you know, take an hour and a half and just let yourself sort of brainstorm in that way and just make those pins. Then you, once you come back to the board, you'll kind of see that there's a pattern going on there that just naturally happens in your brain. Mm-hmm. And you'll see that you're using the same colors over and over again. There's a feeling that you're creating with that. And that can really help guide you forward without you actually thinking about, okay, this is the color because blue means this, you know?
Yes.
That's really helpful.
Hey guys, it's Nikayla here with a quick word from our sponsors. I remember when I first turned my side hustle into a business. It was no easy feat. It took a lot of commitment, working before and after work, and even on my lunch break. Bottom line, I always had something to do. So why not make things a little easier? Well, our friends at FreshBooks have the solution. FreshBooks invoicing and accounting software is designed specifically for small business owners. It's simple, intuitive, and keeps you way more organized than having your own little Excel spreadsheet or checking your bank account every minute. FreshBooks lets you create and send professional-looking invoices in 30 seconds and then get paid 2 times faster with automated online payments. Plus, file expenses even quicker and keep them perfectly organized for tax time. And the best part? FreshBooks grows alongside your business, so you'll always have the tools you need when you need them without ever having to learn accounting. Try it free for 30 days, no catch, and no credit card required. Go to freshbooks.com/sidehustlepro and enter Side Hustle Pro in the How Did You Hear About Us section to get started. If you are side hustling, I know that you need to constantly learn new skills to do things like put up your own website, market your business, and so much more. That's why I keep Skillshare in my business arsenal. Skillshare is an online learning community for creators. There are over 25,000 classes in subjects like Photoshop, accounting, copywriting, and even podcasting. That's right. I recently published the How to Start Your Own Podcast, Podcasting for Beginners course on Skillshare. So now you can learn all of my podcasting secrets over on Skillshare. Whether you're looking to start a podcast, though, or just grow your side hustle or gain new professional skills, Skillshare is there to keep you learning, thriving, and reaching these new year goals. I, for one, have a course on copywriting next up in my saved Skillshare classes. And now Skillshare has a special New Year offer just for Side Hustle Pro listeners. Get 2 months of unlimited access to over 25,000 classes for free. To sign up, go to Skillshare.com/Nikayla. That's N-I-C-A-I-L-A. Again, go to Skillshare.com/Nikayla to start your 2 months now. One more time, that's Skillshare.com/Nikayla, N-I-C-A-I-L-A. I'm glad that you said that you don't work with people unless they're like 2 to 3 plus years in. And you're so right about that, because I know starting out, let's say for me, Side Hustle Pro, I created a logo. I just chose the colors to stand out in the Apple Podcast Store, not thinking like, what are my brand colors? What do I want my website to look like? And then later creating my podcast accelerator, that's a whole different color. Mm-hmm. So you're right. It takes time to think about, okay, what products am I creating? Who is my audience? And then what, how should the website be an umbrella to cohesively talk about all of this?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love what you did with the Side Hustle Pro. As out the gate, I thought you had such an amazing branding and, you know, everybody was so drawn to it.
Thank you. Thank you. But I'm coming to you.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. Let's do it.
So when people come to you after they have built their site themselves, and you now are tasked with revamping it, what are some of the problem areas, the typical mistakes that you see that newbies did that you then have to kind of course correct?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when we start redesigning a site, we look at how is the business doing truly, you know? So what are the revenue goals that you're not meeting? Why is this happening? What is it about the customer? Because truly it's typically that you're not fully getting your customer right. So usually the website, like we said, it's the first iteration. So you're not sure of who your customer is yet. And so now we have to tackle, okay, now what have you learned? Who is truly that customer? Are you actually positioning your offerings in the correct way? A lot of people have first-time websites where they want to put everything. Yes. I mean everything on that homepage. And it's like, I need this.
Like the link tree approach. Like,
exactly. Yes. Yes. And that is all wrong. We want to make sure that we're actually positioning the offerings that make us the most money, the ones that we really want to put in front of people. That should be first and foremost on your homepage, if anything. So it's really about the flow of your website and just making sure that you're crafting a process that you really want your customers to go through. Whereas a lot of people will just say, let me just show you all that I do. And it's really, a lot of people make websites for vanity reasons. It seems like like you want to show, you know, how much of an expert you are, how much you actually get done or how much you put out there. And so again, it's more about the customer, less about you. And that's what we try to tackle with every redesign. And then we also look at your business goals for the future. So a lot of times I work with a lot of, you know, influencers or content creators who have bigger goals. So maybe they want to come out with a book. So I just did Francesca Ramsey's website not too long ago for her book launch. And so we have goals around that book. We want to sell out the tour, or maybe they want to get to the New York Times bestseller list, something like that. And so we're crafting a website that's specific to those kinds of goals. So yeah, so we look at those as well. But those are the two biggest things, the customers and then the goals for the business.
Now, with all this teaching that you're doing, let's talk a bit about your pivot to courses. One thing I love about you is your passion to help other emerging designers. What inspired you to want to get into online courses and teaching?
Yes. So like I said, Danielle Leslie is my very best friend. She is the creator of Course From Scratch. A lot of people know her for her amazing course on how to create courses. And having a best friend like Danielle Leslie, she will tell you, you need to have a course. Why don't you have a course, right? So we have been working on my course since, probably 2014, maybe.
Wow.
It's been a long time. And meaning working on, meaning like, we're such nerds. Our idea of fun is like, hey, let's go to a cafe and talk about mapping your launch strategy. You know, so
let's do your brand map.
Yeah, exactly. She's so funny. So, so we've done that, but also I've worked with so many other content creators in creating their courses, and we've made millions and millions of dollars on their courses. And I'm like, you know what? One day I'll do mine. Mm-hmm. But they're, you know, courses are very overwhelming, I should say. You know, there's a lot that goes into them. It's just the thought of them, I should say.
Yes, the thought Danielle, of them. Yes.
Right. Danielle breaks it down and makes it so easy. But, you know, the thought of creating a course is always a little intimidating. So it took me a long time to actually create my course. But when Danielle came out with her program, I was like, you know what, let me get into that. And I started really paying attention to it and just, you know, her influence as well. She's done such amazing things with her course. I knew that I wanted to do something like that with mine. But in addition to that, like I said, I've never taken a design class. And when I wanted to major in design or double major, I took a few fine art classes to start that double major. And I saw that there were no business-oriented classes for designers. So there was no way for me to figure out how to market myself as a designer, how to make money as a designer. And I had to really figure it out on my own. And it took many years, a lot of research that didn't really help for a long time. And I had to sort of craft my own system. So I started mentoring other designers about 5 years ago now. So every year I opened a mentorship program where I mentor other designers, and I saw that they needed something like this. And I had the roadmap, but I just never had really put it out there. So the course allowed me to do that. So I just launched the course in October, and it's been amazing. I mean, it's one of the most fulfilling things I've ever done. And so I'm just so happy that I did it.
Yes. And of course, being the designer you are, your course, your landing pages, your sales page are all course goals.
Thank you so much.
So this is interesting though. You had a mentorship for 5 years. So was that free or was it like just lower cost or how did that work and what changed once you made it into a course?
Yeah. So I created the mentorship program because I loved B School, Marie Forleo's B School program. And after I did B School, Marie asked if I would like to come on and be an affiliate of B School. And when you're an affiliate of B School, everybody who's an affiliate gives a bonus of some type. And most people give their course as a bonus. So if you sign up for B School, then you'll get their course for free. But I didn't have a course and I didn't have anything that I felt was, you know, that intriguing for a designer to actually want to have in addition to buying into B School. So I created mentorship. So I actually gave one-on-one phone calls to everybody who signed up for B School. So that was sort of what allowed me to learn more about designers and what they truly needed.
How have you approached building out this arm of your business versus just straightforward being the person who's doing the graphic design?
So creating the courses, I had to be really strategic. I wanted to make sure that I asked for help and I followed the lead of others. So like Danielle Leslie, David Siteman Garland is another one who has a lot out there about courses, Amy Porterfield. So I did a lot of research to create the right kind of course to map out my webinar and things like that. But for design, I honestly didn't have anybody who I could turn to for, you know, how to actually create this design business. So it was much different for me creating my design brand of the business versus the course. The course was really very intentional and I took a few months to actually plan out exactly what was going to happen and what my strategies were, but I'd never done that before. So it was a brand new experience, but it was awesome.
Yes, it looks awesome.
Thank you.
You know, having gone through a similar process of creating a course, I know that there are lots of epiphanies that happen as you start to teach and learn and instruct people and how to do things. I mean, for me, it's always interesting to see how other people's minds work and the questions and challenges that they come across that you might not have come across. So what have you learned so far as what are some of the core things that aspiring designers are really struggling with? And if people are listening to this, how do they know if this course is for them?
Yeah, I think a lot of designers just have never seen a true roadmap. Like they've never seen a step-by-step system on this is what you do first. This is what you do second. This is how you're actually going to get the customers. This is what happens when, you know, you're getting on a discovery call and this is how you create that perfect proposal and things like that. And that's what I actually give in the course. I give that step-by-step system. You know, I do a welcome call with each of my students just to kind of get to know what they're struggling with and why they actually enrolled. And that typically is the reason. It's like they've never sat down and said, this is how I need to craft my design business. A lot of us, because most of us are self-taught or, you know, we've gone to design school, but they've never talked about business before. So they really are just like, okay, I just go get the customers, right? That's it. No, you'll get the customer, but then if you're not getting the referrals, there's something going on in your experience. There's something that's going on when you're actually creating that client relationship. And so that's what I talk about in the course. It's really step 1 through 5 kind of system. Yeah.
And what I'm also hearing from you is that for all of us, it's not just about the talent. Like we need to know the business of this, right? The business of design, the business of podcasting. Otherwise, you're not going to make any money.
Right. Exactly.
You could be as good as you want to be, but you got to know how to do that.
And you know, I think a lot of business also just has to do with customer service in general. And that's something that we're not necessarily taught or it's not really pushed out there as much. And if you give your client an excellent customer experience and, you know, you're truly listening to their needs and you're delivering on those needs, you're not trying to just build a pretty website. We're actually trying to help their business. And in that, you can create, you know, experience that makes them feel really secure. So like with designers, we typically have a stereotype of, you know, just being really creative. And it's like, oh, we'll get the mock-up to you when we get it to you. And like, oh, we missed this deadline. And, you know, so a lot of folks who work with designers in the past, I see them a lot feeling like they, you know, got burned in some way, or they just weren't happy with the experience. So you really have to make sure that in your business that you have, you know, those processes in place so that you're not missing things. Things aren't falling through the cracks. And that's what I teach within the course.
Okay. And would you say those processes are the key to cultivating the relationships? Like people like Marie Forleo, who are like, not only is she incredibly talented, but she's reliable and she, you know, she's there. Like I can trust her.
Yes, exactly.
All right. So, Crystal, everything that you've said sounds really seamless. I want to know what has gone wrong.
Yeah.
on this entrepreneurial path for you.
Man, okay. What has gone wrong? I'm like, where do I start? So many things. You know, I think the first thing, not having the full confidence to call myself a designer, not feeling like, okay, I can truly do this because I hadn't had the degree. That was really hard for me. So there was a lot to overcome there. But it was helpful to actually work with the client. So, you know, it's all about that, like feel the fear and do it anyway. Even yes. if you feel like you're not a designer, even if you feel like you're not an entrepreneur, you really do have to go for it. And that's when that validation will sort of come, but it's something that all creatives go through. Like none of us feel like we're truly good enough. And so there's a lot of work that has to be done there. So that was one thing. Like I said, in the beginning, I wasn't making anywhere near the salary that I walked away from. So when I finally took the leap and left my full-time job, I wasn't making that salary. So I felt like a fraud, to be honest. Like so many people were like, yeah, you did it. And they were, you know, and you know, that was the dream back then. I mean, even now it's always been the dream, but you know, you can really fall into like, oh, like, did I do the right thing
right.
so easily? And so it took a long time to overcome that. And like I also mentioned, working with the wrong clients. So working with clients that, you know, I allowed to take advantage of me or disrespect me, learning how to work with them, or not really work with them, how to like actually weed out
right. and try to screen for them.
Exactly. Yeah. Figuring out the right clients for me and getting better at understanding who I truly wanted to work with. That was something that I had to overcome as well.
Now, another thing, and this might be a misconception, is I think from the outside looking in, it can seem like once you start making money as a designer, like, wow, like there seems to be pretty low overhead. Like you could bank a lot of it. And, you know, what investments have you made in your business? Is that a misconception? Are you able to get 2-story office space or like what kind of investments go into your business?
Yeah. You know, I've never really wanted the 2-story office space, actually. I've always just wanted, you know, to work from home, to be really happy in my environment and things like that. So I had my own office, you know, I think, what is that? Probably like 5 years ago or so. That's when I started having my own in-home office. And you know, that's just another room in my apartment. But that was really important for me. But the biggest thing that I invested in is online courses, to be honest. So, you know, purchasing courses from other people who've already done it before. I just think it's just so important to learn from those folks who, you know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's somebody out there who's telling you this is exactly what you need to do. And so that was so important for me in my business. That's probably like the biggest sort of investments that I've had to make. And of course, like, you know, an accountant and a lawyer and all that good stuff. But I think courses are the thing that really helped propel my business forward.
Okay, so now we are going to hop into the lightning round. You know the deal. You just answer the first thing that comes to mind. You ready?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, number one, what is a resource that has helped you in your business that you can share with the Side Hustle Pro audience?
Okay, so one of my favorite resources, I'm not sure if you've heard of this, but it's clarity.fm. Have you heard of this?
No, what's that?
Yes, so it's a website where you can speak to experts, like literally talk on the phone with them all over the world. So they charge by the minute. And it's just like a directory of folks who are an expert in their field. So there are lawyers, there's, you know, startup founders, there are accountants, there's, I mean, anything you can think of is on this site. And then they have like their own little profile. So it's like a directory. They have a profile of like what they've done, what results they've been able to get in their own businesses, and what they can help you with. And so you can actually message them first and say, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. Is this something you can help me with? they'll reply, and then you can schedule a phone call with them through the site and pay by the minute. So if you're like, hey, I want to have 30 minutes with this person, you can pay for that. And usually it's around $1 a minute to maybe like $5 a minute on the really high end. But it's something that I love because, like, there was a time where I wanted to find a lawyer, for instance, a creative copyright lawyer. So I found that person on clarity.fm. I was able to speak to them about my concerns, and it was only a 15-minute call, but it wasn't something that I had to, like, you know, go to somebody's office or, you know, figure out and spend a ton of money on. It was something that was really quick and helpful, and I love giving me that resource out.
Oh, I love that. That is a new one. I love learning something like that I've never heard before. So thank you.
Yay. Awesome. No problem.
Okay. Number two, what's been the best business book or live event or podcast episode that you've consumed recently?
I have to say, Danielle Leslie's episode, not just but Danielle Leslie's episode on Side Hustle Pro, I thought was incredible because yes. The gems that woman drops is just, it's crazy. And it was just so helpful to being like, oh gosh, okay, I know I'm on the right path to creating my online course. And yeah, that episode was great.
Awesome.
Great
job, Michaela. Thanks for listening. Awesome. Oh, thank you. All right. Number three, who is a Black woman entrepreneur besides Oprah or Beyonce that you would want to trade places with for a day and why?
Issa Rae. Issa Rae for sure.
Nice.
I think just her drive and work ethic is just so admirable. And all the stuff that she's able to do, I'm just like in awe of that woman. So yeah.
Okay, cool. And number four, what is a personal habit that you think has truly contributed to your success?
Okay, calendar everything. I love Google Calendar so much. It is my life. And I make sure that every single thing is on that calendar for me because, you know, before I started doing that, in my mind, I would just be holding all of this information or just like, don't forget this and make sure you do that. And I think it was one of those things that you don't truly realize has such an effect on your well-being. And once I started calendaring everything out, it just helped tremendously.
Okay. And then lastly, what is your parting advice for fellow women entrepreneurs who want to make that leap like you did from Revolve, but mm-hmm. are worried about losing a steady paycheck?
You know, it's not easy. But it's worth it. You know, the rewards far exceed any of the pain and struggle that you'll go through, and you will go through that. One thing that I talk about in my emails to my list is that earlier this year in March, my mom got diagnosed with stomach cancer. And it was just such a huge devastation, of course, to our family. And I ended up just moving from LA to Anaheim. So I live near Disneyland now, just to be with her so that, you know, to go to those hospital visits or, you know, to stay with her in the hospital and work from there or try to work from there. But that was the thing, you know, the hospital Wi-Fi and stuff, it's not the best. So it was really difficult for me to actually work from there. So I couldn't. And so I took a few months off from my business this year so I could be there with my mother. But that was something that I could have never done if I had not taken this leap, if I never felt that I was, you know, financially stable enough to do that, if I didn't create a system to make sure that I had clients who are willing to work with me months in advance, I wouldn't have that security to do that. So those are the kinds of times in my life that I've been like, oh, thank goodness I took this leap. And thank goodness I, you know, went through the pain and struggle that it takes to get to the other side. So I would just say that it's absolutely worth it. And just think about what it means for yourself and for your family and for your lifestyle in the future.
Oh, I love that you said that. And, you know, thank you for sharing that with us. I pray for your mom.
Oh, thank you. Well, thankfully, just this past July, we found out the cancer's completely gone.
Woo!
Yes. She went through chemo and then surgery and chemo again. She's just an absolute warrior. So she's back at work.
Yes.
Just did. Yeah, Thanksgiving feast for our whole family. She like just didn't even miss a beat.
Love it.
Yeah, thank you so much for saying that.
Yeah, but you just reminded me of, and it might have been your email because I'm on your list where I got that. And it just, you know, got me thinking about, I used to think that I wanted to retire my parents like some NBA players. And like, that's been one of my goals and, you know, buy them a big house. But then recently as being an entrepreneur, I've been able to do things like pick up and go to Disney World on a whim, you know, to join them because I can do that now. I'm flexible.
Absolutely.
And I'm realizing that the greatest gift is time. Like these times are the times they'll never, ever forget.
100%.
And that is better than any amount of dollars I could ever spend on them. So I'm thankful for that. I'm very thankful. So thank
you. That's awesome.
So where can people connect with you after this episode?
Sure. So you can find me at chrisdidit.com. So that's K-R-I-S-S-D-I-D-I-T.com. And also, if you want to join my masterclass, it's absolutely free. And it's about how to run a design business you love. And so I give 6 simple strategies that you can use right now to book premium clients months in advance. And so you can find that at bookedandbusymasterclass.com. And yeah, those are the 2 places you can find me. And then I'm on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all that at Chris Did It.
All right. Thank you very much, you guys. I will link to all of that in the show notes. You know I will. And there you have it. Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to Side Hustle Pro. If you want to hear more from me, head on over to sidehustlepro.co/sidehustlecorner to get my weekly Side Hustle Diaries chronicles about my own journey from passion project to profitable business. And if you want to find me online, I'm at Side Hustle Pro on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Don't forget to join the Side Hustle Pro Facebook community. Go to sidehustlepro.co/mastermind. And as always, if you love the show, do me a favor and subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.